Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's time for Come and Talk It with your host, Michael Cargill, brought to you by Texas Law Shield. Over the last decade, Michael has championed and supported the rights of law-abiding Texans to own and use firearms. He is the owner of Central Texas Gunworks, a veteran of the United States Army, and has achieved national exposure in such prestigious media outlets such as Forbes Magazine, Fox Business News, CNN Money, AOL, BBC World News, Huffington Post, and the New York Times. Cargill vigorously defends lawful gun ownership in this country without regard to party politics. And now, here's Michael Cargill.
Good day, Austin, Texas, the live music capital of the world. Let's praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. All right, so today we're going to talk about straws. What is this big mess that people are so upset about straws? I just don't get it. What is it?
It's all that plastic just wasted. You're just
angry.
Sucking out of it for 10, 15 minutes.
They are angry around the entire country about straws. I'm not giving up my straw. What are you going to do about it?
They're going to come and get it.
I'm keeping my straw. Come and take it.
They're coming for your straws.
Come for it, because I'm keeping my straw. I'm not giving up my straw. There's nothing you can do to keep me from. You're not going to take my straw. Now, what are you going to do?
What if they make a law that says you can't drink out of a straw?
I'm still going to drink that straw. I'm going to use that straw. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? People still text and drive. They still break the law. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to get rid of your toothbrush? Are you going to get rid of your shampoo, your mouthwash, all those little things in your kitchen? I mean, let's get real here. And then you're getting angry with me. To get angry with me, you got to go past the homeless people on the side of the street. It's 102 degrees outside, and we care more about straws than the homeless. Get a life, people. Get a life. All right. Also, we're going to have Ted Harvey on the show, and he is with the committee to defend the president. He's going to talk to us about what's going on around the country. Maybe we can get him to chime in on the straws as well. Also, we're going to talk about, you know what? Someone is upset. You know, they're upset. The fact that, you know, I don't know what it is, but I'm going to find out what it is. But they wanted to destroy their AR-15. And so we're going to talk about that and get to the bottom of this. Why would you want to destroy your gun? Why? These are things I need to know. I need to know about straws. Why would you want to destroy an AR-15? What is happening? Is it the heat? Is it just too hot outside? What's happening? What is going on? I just don't get it. So we're going to get to the bottom of this. All right. So let me bring into the conversation. Let's go to line three. Ted Harvey, with the committee to defend the president. Ted, welcome to Come and Talk It, sir.
Good afternoon. How are you?
We're doing outstanding, sir. You know, I just don't get it. I'm going to ask you to chime in on this straw business. You know, what is going on around the country where people want to tell me what I can and I cannot use, or what I can and I cannot do?
I will not comply.
As simple as that, right?
You know, we had several bills. I'm a former legislator here in Colorado, and as you know, several years ago, we had some of the most egregious gun control bills in Colorado. And one of the most famous lines that came out of that debate was, "I will not comply." We had T-shirts made up and everything. And, you know, the gun bills that were passed here in Colorado, they could not be enforced. They were unconstitutional. And it's the same thing with this stupid stuff. It's all just a bunch of feel good, do gooder stuff that's not going to solve any problems. And, the same do gooder radical leftist environmentalists out there are the same ones that are drinking water out of plastic bottles and driving their Subarus and Priuses that are far more
better yet. They're driving
the environment
their
environment than a plastic straw.
They're driving their big SUV, you know, away from the protest to not to ban straws.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So, you know, let them have their temper tantrum. It goes one week from a next. It goes from one crisis to the next. And I think the American people are getting pretty tired of it.
Exactly. You know, I'm tired of people telling me what I can and cannot do. You know what?
Yep.
If I want to, you know, if I want to suck down whatever my big gulp, the big, huge glass, big cup with a big, huge straw, you know what? I'm going to do it. There's nothing anyone can do about it.
God bless America.
Exactly. That's what America's all about. So, you know what, Ted Harvey, tell me about you and your organization and what do you guys do?
Well, thank you for having us on. I appreciate it. We started the PAC originally as the Stop Hillary PAC. We started it 5 years ago before Hillary even got into the race because we knew the Democrats were going to lie, cheat, and steal to do everything that they could to make sure that she was the first female president of the United States. And the last thing I wanted was for Bill and Hillary to ever step foot in the White House ever again. So we started the Stop Hillary PAC, and we were incredibly instrumental, I believe, in making sure that the Republicans won the presidency. But then when Trump won and the left had their total and complete national temper tantrum and tried to do everything they could to discredit not only the presidency but the entire election, to say that he shouldn't have even been elected, that's when we decided to not allow this very influential organization just to go to nothing. We changed the name to the Committee to Defend the President. And since then, we have really become the only organization out there that has the president's back. You know, the RNC isn't doing it. Members of Congress aren't doing it. And so anybody who really wants to join the effort to stand up for America, stand up for the president, we're the only group out there. So we've grown to be the largest pro-Trump PAC in the country because of it.
Now, tell me what's your take on, you know, on us, and we have 2 minutes left, but what's your take on us with the Second Amendment? Okay, so we have this issue of suppressors being removed from the NFA list. We're hoping, you know, I was hoping that the president will get this done this term, this year. We're hoping that we can get concealed carry reciprocity passed where license holders can carry their handgun in every state. You know, so what's your take on that? Because
yep.
That's something that we were not able to get done. And if we don't get done, I'm afraid during the midterm elections, we may lose some seats. We may lose either the House or the Senate, and we're not going to get this done.
Well, I don't think we're going to lose either the House or the Senate. But the reason why we're not getting it done is because we don't have enough Republicans in the United States Senate. I believe we could get it through the House, but if it got over to the Senate, we have such slim margins that the Democrats would stop it, or the John McCains of the world would stop it. And that's what we are focusing on 100% right now between now and November, is to try to flip the 6 U.S. Senate seats that Democrats hold right now in states that Trump won by 60% or more. If we're able to flip those 6 states, then we don't have to worry about the Democrats. We don't have to worry about the Jeff Flakes and Corkers and everybody. We can get those kind of important pieces of legislation through Congress and to the president's desk so that he can sign it.
All right, we're talking with Ted Harvey. He's with the Committee to Defend the President. Also, we're going to talk about straws. Only way to stop a bad straw is a good straw. Also, we're going to talk to someone who wants to destroy their AR-15. Sacrilege. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
This is Coleon Noir, and you're listening to Come and Talk It with Michael Cargill.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now, here's Michael Cargill.
Straw or not to straw? That's what we're talking about. So you know what? I'm keeping my straw. You know, all straws' lives matter. White straws matter. White straws with red stripes matter. White straws with black stripes matter. Even black straws matter. All straws' lives matter.
What about the bendy straws?
They matter, too.
Non-bendy straws?
They
I'm
matter.
Not a fan of the non-bendy straws. If
they
you don't
matter.
Bend... Not in my house.
To bend or not to bend?
That is the question.
All right, so, you know, Ted, I'm a big fan of yours, by the way. But you know what? I got to admit, Ted, in this room, I have some people that, you know, have some questions. And I got one person that's
Wait.
Uh-oh.
Wait. What about twisty straws?
Oh.
What the heck is a twisty straw?
What is a twisty
straw? Like a crazy straw?
What's a twisty straw?
And they just go up and basically a helix.
Okay.
It's a big wood helix, man.
All right.
Nobody can outlaw the crazy straws.
They want to do everything. They want to do Slurpees. They want to, you know, ban the Bic gulp.
Only in New York.
Right?
Only Michael Bloomberg.
Only. Don't get us started down that road there. All right. So, you know, I'm a big fan of yours. And I got some people in here. I got someone from the UK. You know, he's not a big fan. And so I want to set the tone to let you know that I'm a big fan. And you're doing wonderful. You're doing wonderful work out there. Don't, you know, keep it up. But then I got some questions for you.
Okay.
Hi, Ted. My name is Felicia, and I am a Republican here in Austin, so obviously the minority. But I had a couple questions for you. Do you guys, obviously you're around to support the president, but do you guys support everything that the president does, regardless of whether or not maybe he made the right decision? Do you, you know, condemn him when he makes the wrong call? You know, do you hold your elected officials accountable like we as the constituents are supposed to do?
Well, as a individual, I hold everybody accountable. But to tell you the truth, as a conservative, constitutionalist, libertarian-leaning Republican, there's not a policy that I disagree with that the president has done thus far.
Oh, okay, I'm so glad that you said that. I was looking forward to that answer. So how do you rationalize tariffs?
How do I rationalize tariffs?
Yeah, the tariffs that the president has imposed.
Taxes.
Sure. When Canada puts almost a 300% tariff on dairy products, as soon as the president gets elected to office, thinking that this new Republican administration is not going to respond in kind, I think it is only incumbent upon the administration to hold Canada accountable and say, we want to have free, fair trade. We want to have no tariffs. We want to have no subsidies, government subsidies of products. But if you guys are going to start a trade war with the United States by putting a 300% tariff on our products, then you are leaving us with no other alternative than to turn around in kind and to apply similar sanctions against your goods coming into the United States. We can't allow you to just unilaterally put those kind of tariffs on the United States product.
All right, so let me bring in the – okay, go ahead.
I am very confused as to how you can say that you're a libertarian-leaning individual, but then you're pro-taxes because that's what tariffs are. Additionally, now we're in a scenario where we're going to have to, quote-unquote, bail out farmers who are suffering from the taxes.
No,
I'm confused as to how you can be a conservative, especially going as far to use the word libertarian.
Now he's giving you everything.
And then say, yes, taxes are good. Let's do it, and then bail them out when we screw them over.
No, we're not. We're not having to bail out the farmers because Europe lowered their tariffs because Trump was the only president in the last 30 years to stand up to their unfair trade practices and forced them to lower their tariffs. And now we are able to freely trade our soybeans and everything else with the EU, where – had Trump not made that threat, we would not be able to. So now the tariffs are coming down from Europe. I don't know if you watched the president of the EU come out here last week and lower the tariffs that they had been putting on the United States, and therefore the United States are lowering the tariffs that they had threatened. They never put them into place. They had threatened to put the tariffs in place. So now because Trump is actually standing up for America and quit and stopping the rest of the world treating the United States workers as the piggy bank for the world, he is actually lowering tariffs around the world and allowing more products to be sold throughout the world and improving our economy.
You know, I would love for you to send me some news links after the show, because I think we're in completely different news cycles. Because I've not heard a single thing that you're saying in the news. And I watch Fox News, MSNBC, CNN, and BBC. I watch everything and not heard anything that you're talking about.
Yeah, well, let me just say.
You didn't see the president of the EU out last week?
What's this gentleman's name? What's this gentleman? He's got 800 names. What's his name? It's Ted. Hey, Ted, this is Max Miller. I'm actually a Brit, but I'm masquerading as an American today. And I am very familiar with Juncker, and I'm very familiar with what you just said. And I can tell you everything you just said, either you need to start taking medication or you need to reread everything, because Juncker actually has no power to do what you just said that they said they agreed to. He has no power to say we're going to lower the tariffs on anything. He's there to negotiate. The individual governments have the power to do that. He doesn't have the power to do anything. So this is the part. Listen, I am an independent. This is why Mike and I get on, Michael and I get on, because seriously, the part that really upsets me when people like you come on and do a disservice, you do a disservice to your own audience by twisting the truth. It makes no sense. What was just said by the young lady in the room here, that you are bailing out $12 billion worth of farmers is absolutely true. His own party has said that. Now, if you had the guts to stand up and say, you were asked a direct question, do you disagree or agree with President Trump? And you said, yes, I agree with him 60% of the time, you would have respect from everybody in the studio. Right now, sir, you do not. There is no way on God's earth for what you just said is true.
I like Ted.
I like him. That's fine.
But let's let him answer.
I'm going to let him answer. But I want Ted,
go ahead and answer.
Answer the question. Is it true? It's not true.
All right, go ahead and answer it, Ted.
What's the question?
The question was, do you truly believe that Donald Trump negotiated a deal that you said immediately this is going to allow tariffs to be lowered on American farmers to export into the EU? That is not true.
I do believe that Trump is the only president in the last 30 years to take on the EU, to take on Canada, to take on Mexico, and to take on China, who have been taking advantage of the American workers for the last 30 years and unfairly putting tariffs on the United States.
But what you're saying now, with all due respect, is not what you just said 3 minutes ago.
You didn't let me finish.
Go ahead, man. I'm ready.
You didn't let me finish.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
And he is forcing Canada to lower their tariffs. He is forcing China to lower their tariffs. And
what?
The meeting that
let
he
him
had
finish.
You're
not
the,
letting him get out of sentence. Let him
head
complete
of the
his sentence.
EU, the meeting that he had with the head of the EU was putting in place an agreement that the EU would start lowering tariffs on the United States product, and we would be continuing to sell soybeans and all of our
that
other
is absolutely not true. I tell
is,
you what, you are asked, you are asked, send the links, send the links, send the links.
That is what the president of the EU said.
No, he didn't.
That is what Trump said.
If he did not.
If that's not the truth, then that's not what the media is reporting.
Well, you know, I swear to God, man.
To what the media is reporting.
Are you living on planet Earth?
What the EU said. If you know something more than what the head of the EU said, then good for
you. I do, because I read. And if you had read what the British press said after that, none of what you just said was agreed to on anything. It was an outline. And if you truly cared about the American farmer, which clearly you don't, if you did, then you would have the truth, which is there is nothing that's been done lately to help the American farmer. Seriously.
And
what is it?
And that is not the truth.
Well, what is it then? You're the one saying, hold on a minute. The American farmers.
You may not like it, but this president is standing up for America and putting America
Listen,
first.
Standing up for you America.
May not like
and,
it as
why
Brit,
would I want? No,
that,
I'm an
that's
I'm
not
an
my problem.
I'm an American. I'm an American with a funny accent, okay? So my question for you is, what proof have you got that he's standing up for the American worker? He says a lot, but he hasn't done anything. I want to know. You haven't said anything. You asked a specific question, but
well, you're not giving him a chance to answer.
Okay, I'll shut up.
Thank you.
No, I answered. I answered.
That's what he had answered.
This president,
no proof.
Unlike President Obama,
no
unlike President Bush,
oh
unlike President Clinton, is actually standing up to the foreign governments around the world and saying, you are not going to be allowed to put on these massive tariffs on the United States and not have any in-kind retribution for it. And that
what
is
was
what
the okay?
Have.
Okay, so
we
what was the what is
Canada
the average tariff?
300% tariff on dairy products and not have retribution.
What is the average tariff? What is the average tariff on a product from the United States into the EU?
Do you not think that a 300% tariff on dairy products going into Canada is wrong?
So we're going to steer away from Canada real quick, because I just did some research online and every single article.
I'm not allowed to answer it. Michael won't let me.
Every single article we're talking, CBS News, Time, USS Today, or USA Today, Politico, CBS, CNN, Market Watch, EU News, everyone, they're working towards, quote, literal quote, zero tariffs. There's nothing about eliminating them now. There's nothing about reducing them now. They're saying that they're going to have more conversations, and the $12 billion to bail out farmers is still on the table. It's still a problem. This is why we're in debt.
And we come back, I'm gonna let you answer that, Ted. We're talking about, should we ban the straws? We're talking about, this is the Committee to Defend the President and the AR-15. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
This is State Representative Jonathan Sicklin, and you are listening to Come and Talk It on Talk 13.7.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now, here's Michael Cargill.
All right, we're back, and we're talking with Ted Harvey. He's with the Committee to Defend the President. Also, we're going to talk about straws. You know, someone is so angry with me about straws, they threaten me. Are you serious? You want to cause harm to me because I won't give up my straw? Well, guess what? I'm not giving up my straw. What are you going to do?
There's so many other reasons to cause harm to you.
I know.
Yes.
I do so many other things on this planet.
We don't need any other reason, Michael.
No, not a straw. There's some good reasons. There's definitely some. And then also, why would you want to throw away or destroy your AR-15? That's going to be a good conversation. I can't wait to sit down and talk with her about that. We're trying to calm her down a little bit. She's getting a little high strung over here. But you know what? We're coming to you. We're going to come for you.
She's knitting.
She's calm. She's the calmest one in here because she's knitting.
So let's go back to Ted Harvey with the Committee to Defend the President. Ted, you were asking a question before we went to break?
No, my only question was, should Trump not be going up against people, other countries that are putting on inappropriate tariffs on the United States and not retaliate in kind?
This is Max. So what products are you talking about specifically? Apart from dairy,
look at
please.
Look, my God, Canada,
man. Have you got something
300%
better than
300% tariff? Is that not appropriate?
What is the dollar amount of those products?
I don't have it.
Right, see, that's exactly. It's an easy number to throw out, 300%, right? It's meaningless.
Answer me yes or no. Is that good or is that bad?
We put tariffs on pickup trucks of 25%. Is that good or bad?
It's not 300%.
Putting tariffs on things, there's always an outlier, right? You have to look at the whole. What I was telling Michael.
Yeah, I am looking at the whole.
No, you're not.
I don't want to have any tariffs at all.
Okay, so what is the average tariff?
When you have other countries putting on massive tariffs.
Yeah, you keep saying that. So what is the average tariff, Ted, into the
you can rattle off and say no and go to another question, but you're not going to answer my question.
I just said.
We have countries that are putting 300% tariffs
Canada.
On a product going into their country. Why should we not retaliate in kind?
I think it all depends on what it is and how much it's worth.
China dumping metals and aluminums on the world market, and obviously the United States is the largest economy. So we're having massive.
How much steel did we import from China?
And metal being dropped into the U.S. economy. And so we're putting tariffs on that. And guess what the rest of the world did? Canada put tariffs on it as well because they don't want to have the metals that were coming to the United States dumped in their country. So they also put tariffs on theirs. And so were other countries around the world because they don't want to have this massive.
And what do you want to see? Let me change speed on you here. So what do you think is going to happen?
I think we're going to have a much more fair and balanced trade situation around the entire world where we're not having massive amounts of tariffs put on products around the world, and we have a fair and freer economy
and
worldwide,
that's, so,
which is what I think most libertarians would want
how
to
is
have.
That, so how's that working out with the soybean farmers or with the guy that makes nails or the BMW factory in Spartanburg or the fact that the guy who has lobsters is to China right now might have to lay off half his workforce? How are those people? Are they
or,
just
or
are
the
they,
dairy farmers?
Are they
the
exactly
that are
exactly?
To go into
so are they? So they just are
Canada.
They just are they just collateral?
Eventually, because Trump is actually standing up for the workers, it will come to pass that these smaller economies
have you
want to
have
do
you
business,
been to hey,
the
Ted.
Largest economy in the United in the world, the United States,
it's not.
Is going to have to succumb to the actual free markets and have fair trade.
Hey, Ted, have you ever been? Ted, have you ever been to China?
To do, and that is what will happen eventually,
Ted,
because they'll have to.
Ted, have you ever been to China?
I've been to Asia. No.
Okay, I've been.
My daughter is there right now.
Okay, great. So I've been to. You should ask your daughter then. I've been to China like 8 or 10 times, right? And clearly, I know the EU very well. If you think for one second that the Chinese are going to bow down because they believe in something that I'm sure your daughter's told you called face, there is no way that they are going to allow United States to dictate trade policy to China. It's just not going to happen.
And thank you, Max. We'll see you next week. So, Ted, tell us some good things about what your committee's doing.
Well, our committee is defending the president and going up against China in Canada and the EU for their unfair trade practices with the United States, which I think most of the Americans in this country believe is probably the best course for this administration to take. We are trying to get Democrat senators thrown out of office in the next election cycle so that we can repeal Obamacare, so that we can build a wall, fund a wall, so that we can make sure that our Second Amendment rights are safe and that we are appointing judges throughout the United States that will uphold the Constitution. And if any of your listeners would love to join us in this effort, I encourage them to go to the Committee to Defend the President.com or go to our Facebook page at Committee to Defend the President as well.
All right, awesome. Man, I appreciate that. Thank you, Ted. And we got to have you back on sometime, you know, when we have a more friendlier crowd, you know, in the audience to you.
For the record,
you know what? But you did good, Ted. You did good.
For the record, Ted, I appreciate what the committee is doing. I think that the president gets too much bad press, and it's a little ridiculous how things are skewed. This tariff issue is not something that we should be defending as lovers of the free market and limited government. Republicans need to snap the heck out of it, remember our founding principles, and defend the president when he deserves defending and call him out when he doesn't deserve it. And this tariff issue is not this is not the hill that we need to die on. This is not okay.
You and I will have to agree to disagree, because I think he's doing exactly what this president should be doing.
And then once again, Ted, can you tell us your website and how can we find you?
Committee to Defend the President on Facebook. It's Committee to Defend the President as well.
All right. Thank you, Ted Harvey. We appreciate that. With the Committee to Defend the President. And we got to talk with you again sometime.
I'd love to. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Have a great Sunday.
Thank you, sir. You enjoy the rest of your weekend. All right. So what's this talk about straws? I got to talk about straws. It's driving me nuts here. You know, what's up with straws? Why? Did you do some research on straws? And what's this?
They banned them in California. And,
oh, well, then that says it enough right there.
Yeah, and I believe it is 6 years in jail if you give out an illicit straw.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, God. What are your thoughts?
I mean, I think protecting the environment is an issue. I'm not sure why people have decided to die with the straw. there's definitely a lot of other things that we can be doing. I mean, I personally, yes, I'm a Republican who cares about the environment. I recycle everything. I have two bins, yell at you if you come to my house and you don't recycle. We will have words.
Correction, I was 6 months.
Okay, but isn't the problem? The problem is people are dumping them when they're not supposed to dump them. The problem is that, you know, we're not making sure this stuff is being traveled to where it needs to get to without coming loose. Is that what the real issue is?
I mean, the problem is just the amount of trash that Americans create on a yearly basis. It's just that. It's not straw specific. That's why I'm confused as to why this is where people have decided to lose their marbles. Just another July in America.
It's 8 billion straws a year, though. That's the problem. Eight billion.
Yeah, but we have a serious homeless problem. You know, there are so many other issues that are much bigger that we can handle that we need to address that we're just totally ignoring. All straws lives matter.
It's easier to
white
condemn.
Straws lives matter. Black straws lives matter.
It's easier to condemn people who use straws and actually take a hard look at your policies and realize that your policies may be what's contributing to the homelessness.
In the scheme of things, straws are not a big deal.
It's a social justice warrior thing. They were bored.
Exactly. I actually agree with you. We've agreed twice today.
Good God, someone help me.
I know. I can't believe it.
So let me bring it to the conversation, Domino. Oh, Domino, step up to the mic.
Hello.
So hello, Domino. How are you doing?
I'm really happy. How are you?
All right. So tell me a little bit about yourself and tell me, how did you end up with an AR-15? So Domino hasn't, you know, had an AR-15.
It's gone.
And it's gone now. So how did you end up with this AR-15? What excited you? What sparked you to decide you wanted to get yourself an AR-15?
Nothing. Nothing at all. It was a gift by a friend.
You were excited. I remember you coming into the shop and you were excited, but I have video. Don't play with me.
I never asked or hinted or wanted anything like this. I was honestly more excited about the really cool handmade wooden box that came in, which I'm going to keep as my camping box, my camping travel box. It's pretty rad. The gun itself, monstrosity. I hated it. Still do.
I remember you coming into the shop.
It's pretty.
I remember you like, I'm so excited.
It's real pretty.
I remember those words.
It's pretty. It was very.
You were very excited.
I was honored to be given a homemade thing.
What changed in society that made you decide that you wanted to get rid of your AR-15?
It wasn't society that changed. It was having a gun in my house, which I'd never had before. Honestly, and even just the presence of this weapon nearby me, because I kept it in my room. I wouldn't keep it downstairs. It was in a safe, locked, and it just felt like radioactivity, if that makes any sense. Like, it was just this angry energy that, and I'm not like an energy person, but it just made me angry to have it around.
Okay, so that was not the feeling with you bringing it into the home. So before you brought it into the home, you weren't angry at it. So I need you to tell me, what were your feelings when you brought this AR-15 to your house? Because that was not anger.
It was more of an excitement about to be given a homemade thing. But I had never shot an AR-15. And also shooting it was awful. Being around it was awful. I hated every bit of it. Didn't want it around. So but nothing in society changed. I thought about it more. That changed. It got me thinking about guns more than I needed to regularly.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
When we come back from the break, we're going to bring James into the conversation because James was the friend that actually gave you this awesome gift, you know, that you wanted to destroy. But instead of destroying it, you decided to just send it back to him. So we're going to bring James back into the conversation. We come back because, as I understand it, I remember you when you walked into the gun store. I remember you being happy and excited about this new rifle that you got. And I strictly remember that because you were very happy. You were smiling and excited about it. And so then when you came back to return it, everything had changed. But I'm not hearing that happiness in the beginning. I'm only hearing something else. So something changed. Something else is going on, and we got to get to the bottom of it.
All right.
So when we come back, we're going to get to the bottom of that. We're going to go to James when we come back. We're talking about straws, to straw or not to straw. All straws lives matter. And we're talking about the AR-15. Some people want to destroy their guns. You know, well, we're going to talk about that in a little more when we come back. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
And I get my gun news from Michael Cargill at Come and Talk It.
This is a man's world. This is a man's world.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
All right, so we're back and we're talking with Domino. And she's a young lady that had an AR-15. and she wanted to destroy it. And so we brought her into the studio because, you know, Domino picked up this AR-15. Well, what happened was, James, I'm going to bring James into the conversation. He's on line one. James, come on into the conversation here. James is a good friend of mine. We actually served in the military together back at, God, what was it? Was it Fort Hood, James?
That's correct. All right. We served in the United States Army at Fort Hood, Texas.
That's right. Okay. So James, you know, and Domino are friends, and James decided to build this AR-15. You know, he got the little receiver, and you tell him, James.
Well, first, I'd like to thank everyone for their time today. I appreciate being available for this. And I'd also like to specify that we're still friends. But
yes, yeah, hello.
Hi, Domino. How you doing?
Doing well. How
every
are you?
Every so often, oh, well, on the radio, every so often, I get an urge to do something a little crazy and fun. And I have great respect for Domino. She's a fine human being. She's a poet. She's an athlete. And some of our conversations have allowed me to sort of think this might be an opportunity to bring up firearms as an element. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to build something beautiful, the complete works, something amazing that shoots great, that looks great, and could be an heirloom treasure. And I'm going to give it to her and see what happens.
Okay. And then what happened?
What happened was I started thinking about what guns represent in America as a Texan and as an American. And
you're a Texan?
I am a Texan, native Texan, okay. And I've traveled the world. And the first thing I hear from people is, oh, you all ride horses in Texas. And the second thing I always hear is guns. It's all about guns, being from Texas, being an American. And I'm not a gun person. Having a gun around, I just started thinking about what they meant to our country, what they represented. As
which
an
is
individual,
what? A tool.
It's a tool, but it's a tool that murders people.
So
it's
there's a
tool
car
that kills people.
So there's a hammer.
Yes, but I don't.
So there's abortion.
Practice. Yes, exactly. But I just felt that I would rather spend my time and energy doing something that helps society, and I don't think guns at all help society. I think
how did you get to the studio today?
Only destructive tools. Cars are destructive tools as well.
Yeah. How did you get to? So you're going to go outside and destroy your vehicle?
No, not at all.
Why? It kills more people than guns.
That is true. That is true. But it also gets me places, and if I'm very, very careful, I won't hurt anyone or myself. But with a weapon, I feel like there's no point to it. So many people who wield guns wield them for out of fear or out of hatred or out of, you know, it represents something to so many different people. And I didn't want that around me.
Felicia?
I'm going to need a minute to put what I feel right now into words. My first question is, James, can you be my friend?
Well, I get that, where you're coming from, certainly, and I see that there's some other folks on the Facebook chat making similar offers, and I'm always open to meeting new and interesting people, but I don't know that, A, really, I want to go through this again, and B, any of you have met the 10-year friend mark that even made this a remote reality in my mind.
So my first question.
But thank you for asking.
My first question for the guest in the studio today is: you're a native Texan. You said you're an American. Are you proud to be an American?
I have been more proud to be an American now that I've traveled. Absolutely.
Okay, great. So you realize that America only exists because of firearms?
Sure. Yeah. See that.
And you realize that firearms allow society to function the way that it functions. It keeps the bad people in place when they try and attack the good people. It helps me feel more comfortable when I walk down the street. It helps me feel more comfortable as a 27-year-old female who lives 300 miles away from any person who truly gives a crap, being safe and living on my own, knowing that my AR-15, that I will never destroy, sleeps by my bed and my shotgun is behind the door and my 9mm is in my car. It means that I will never be a statistic. I will never be a victim. That's an empowering feeling. That is why firearms are here. It's so that I may live in liberty and I may live in freedom for protection from the government, if it comes to that, and anyone who tries to infringe upon my individual rights.
I do acknowledge that, and I'm glad you feel safe, as we all should. And I wasn't destroying my gun, or I didn't destroy it, but I wasn't pushing for the world to destroy their guns. This was a personal decision, a personal moral decision, and a very, very intense one for me.
So has anything happened? And I love that this is like girl on girl conversation right now, because we can relate to things a little differently than I think that some of the males can, just because we're frail and fragile. Oh, God, we can't protect ourselves.
I disagree.
That was definitely sarcasm. So has anything happened in your past regarding firearms that has made you feel uncomfortable and you thought maybe accepting this gift would help you overcome that? And that's why you're excited. And then you were like, nope, nope, can't do it. You know, did you have any exposure to firearms before this gift that, you know, maybe made it leave a bad taste in your mouth?
No, not necessarily a specific personal experience with guns other than owning this gun now. My experience with guns has largely been watching American society progress and watching like that fear and stigma and obsession with guns of American society. And it really seems hazardous to me. It seems unwell. That has been my experience. But I love weapons personally. I love weapons. I collect like weird weapons. I love knives. I love swords and bayonets, and I like love weapons in general. But and I thought I might like a gun. I really thought that it might be just the same, but it was not at all.
So I view firearms as a tool. I'm from the country. I hunt, I fish. You know, I use weapons to kill animals to consume as nourishment. I also have them in my life to protect myself because I live alone. Mm-hmm. So in my opinion, a firearm is a tool. It is a tool for many reasons, as is a gun, bayonet, you know, a sword, because I have some of those too, Ren Faire phase of my life. So what makes a firearm so evil and a sword not, or even a kitchen knife? Too bad our UK friend is gone for that comment.
Oh.
Donald wouldn't have him stay much longer. Donald said I had to get rid of him.
This is the only way we're going to get Donald on the show, is if we keep having Max on, Donald's going to show up and take Max out.
You're fired.
So the question was what makes a gun feel different, and I think the easiest thing I can think of is the amount of people it can kill. A gun can kill so many people so much faster. A gun can allow that trigger finger to really mean someone else's death. When someone can get angry wielding a knife and cause a wound, but it won't be nearly so mortal to so many as a gun would.
You have never seen me in the car.
I have, dear God.
You've never seen me in a vehicle.
I would rather him have a firearm and a bike than him have a car.
Go ahead, James. Let you chime in here for a second.
Well, for the record, I'm not ever riding with you, Mike. I love you, but no. And the other one is, ultimately, we're touching on part of the reason I did this as well, was to give her the opportunity and experience to make that decision for herself and see how she feels about it. And I'm okay with it either way. I would have been sad to see the machine destroyed had that been its outcome, but ultimately I very strongly defend her right to destroy it because it is her property and her choice. Even though I'm rabidly pro-gun, it ain't mine, it's hers.
We talked about like the pros and cons of me destroying this, and I found a great website that would turn an AR-15 specifically into farming implements, which I thought would be really beautiful and a wonderful use for the metal.
Oh, Jesus.
But it was a beautiful gun, and I thought an even cooler thing would be is to give it to an artist to dismantle it, so it's like permanently dismantled but turned into an art piece. I thought that would be a really cool
Totally
honor.
Killing me here.
I know. But that's what I – like I saw the beauty of this thing he had created, and I see the beauty of its parts, and I see the beauty of what it can represent, but the hazard of it is like putting a drunk driver on the street. It feels so dangerous just to intentionally keep it in the world. But with the respect to my friend, I gave it back to him instead of destroying it. I gave it back to the artist.
The hazard of it. Can you expand on that? Because you know it doesn't work unless you load the magazine, you insert the magazine into the firearm, you turn off the safety, you point the firearm at the thing, you take your pointer finger, you put it in the trigger, or put it on the trigger, and then you pull. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of things leading up to this hazard, quote-unquote, doing the thing that it was designed to do.
Yeah, and, I mean, He mentioned, James mentioned, that it is something he wanted to pass down in generations. Like, he created this gun, and this gun will exist after me. This gun will exist after him. This gun will exist after all of our generations. And I can guarantee that maybe I would keep it safe because I would literally keep it in a safe and never use it. I can guarantee that James will keep it safe because he is a very responsible gun owner. But I can't be sure that gun will be safe next generation or the generation after that. I can't guarantee that somebody won't get their hands on this weapon and slaughter people. I can't guarantee that. And that terrifies me to know that I have the power to maybe save someone's life a generation away by taking this gun out of operation. That's something I wanted to do. That's how I wanted to contribute to society and not, like, know that this couldn't hurt anyone.
Well, and Mike and panel, this is where I kind of agree with her. I don't agree necessarily with the stance and the fear, but you can't fault the logic. If this is that big a deal, she's not forcing this on anybody else. She's not saying that all firearms in the nation should be destroyed. She's not saying that every AR-15 should be demilitarized, I suppose. If you've ever seen the proper way to chop one up, according to the ATF, this is her choice for her property and her stance. You know, this is how she feels it should best be done.
All right. So,
and how can I claim friendship unless I endorse that? You know what I mean?
All right. So we're talking about AR-15s. We're talking about whether to destroy it or not destroy it. We're talking about something that's deep inside of us, you know, and some people are actually battling this demon, and we're trying to get to the bottom of it. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
Yo, what's going on, guys? It's Jack Jones here, and I get my gun news from Michael Cargill on Come and Talk It.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now, here's Michael Cargill.
All right, so we're talking about AR-15s, and should we destroy them? You know, you get to that point where you just don't want your gun anymore. Here's what you do. Just come on into the gun store and just give it to me. I'll take care of it for you.
I'm always available if anyone has a gun they don't want anymore.
Yeah. You find a gun at home, you know, and it's a family member passed away and you came across this firearm. Just bring it into the gun store. We'll take good care of that sucker for you. Take real good care of it. Treat it like a family.
I mean, I will say, like, I can respect, how do I phrase this? I can respect the sentiments that when you no longer own the firearm, you're worried about whose hands it could fall into, quote unquote.
Mm.
Ideally, the idea of an heirloom is that it would be your descendants. And so I guess you're assuming that your descendants are going to be screwy because of all the straws and right and all the pollution. I mean, I can respect that. And again, like, firearms aren't for everyone. We've talked about this on the show before. And you need to feel comfortable and confident around a firearm or you're not going to be safe. Right. And so, I mean, it was a really awesome thing that your friend did for you. I'm glad that you donated it to, like, an art piece. I think it would have been cool for you to keep that, the art piece in general, and kind of have that on your wall. And it could be, you know, like, this really existential piece about the violence of firearms and then the beauty of nature. I don't know. This isn't my forte, as you can tell. I'm not real earthy. But
honestly, I'm glad you gave it back. You didn't destroy it. Mm-hmm. You know, and just like Felicia said, guns are not for everybody. And I'm one of the first people to admit that. You know, there are some people out there that just, you know, should not own a firearm at all. And so it's good that you realize that, hey, this is not for me. This is something that I don't want in my home. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, that's your choice. That's your right. You know, so and you know, we actually I'm giving you a hard time. But I really appreciate that. You know, you acknowledge the fact that this is not for me. Mm-hmm. And not everyone, you know, not everyone does that. Maybe some people decide to do something bad with it, mm-hmm. you know, and do something bad to themselves or do something to someone else. You know, but you decided, you know, hey, this is not for me. This is not something that I believe in. This is not something I want part of my life. So I'm choosing to, you know, give it back or get rid of it. And that's a good decision.
Thanks for saying so. I respect you, too.
Yeah. James?
Oh, we're so hippie
loving.
Oh, my
God.
Here.
We're going to have drinks after this.
we're all so happy we can sing Kumbaya and hug each other.
But it would probably be a different outcome if Max was in here. Right, Donald?
We would not hug him.
But go ahead, James. What were you saying in
the
background?
Does Max not do drinks?
Yeah, Max drinks.
Oh, then we're good. I think we can all we can all settle this over a fight.
Yeah, absolutely. So, James, what are you going to do with that AR-15 you got back?
Well, I am a man of my word, Michael. And one of its return was that it never be used to harm someone. So it is a, or anything, it will not kill. So it will not be a hunting rifle or a defense rifle. So have no fear for me, folks. There are plenty of tools available in its stead.
Is it a range toy?
Rarely. And perhaps just sort of a touchstone for a great story and memories of a wonderful friend. You know, I'm not hurting for guns in the slightest. So it has, in a way, fulfilled what I hoped for, but sort of not how I expected. It has become an heirloom. It has become something to treasure. But it's mine to treasure now when I never expected it to be.
You know, and you need to be careful of those knitting needles. Because, you know, I'm looking at...
Did you Google murder by knitting needle.
Let me tell you. And there are some freaky... There's a person that actually... This dude, he was accused of raping, torturing, and killing his mom with a knitting needle.
Mm-hmm. It can be done with anything.
Yeah. Oh. Another lady was found strangled to death with a knitting needle, you know, in her body. And so there are all these stories, you know, of knitting needles. So there's so many different ways that people can kill other people. There's some evil people in this world.
I'm so curious. So I brought my knitting in knowing that it was double-pointed needles, which look very intense. They're double-bladed. They're so intense looking. And I was really curious.
And I was concerned at first.
Yeah, no. And I was curious if you would be concerned, because that also seems like a theme of people who own weapons, that y'all see danger in so many things around you.
I'm thinking some James Bond stuff right now.
Oh yes, and I'm named after a James Bond character.
Exactly.
Fun fact. Yeah, you never know. But no, not a weapon at all. Knitting just gloves.
What'd you say, James?
Does this mean that I can't make you knitting needles for Christmas this year?
I would love knitting needles, please. That's a great gift.
They're more dangerous.
Let's learn how to give gifts to our liberal friends.
Give them
knitting needles, not guns.
Those are more dangerous.
How to give gifts to your liberal friends. No firearms. Sustainably sourced.
What'd you say, James?
What if I make him out of some 5160 spring steel? You can drive it through an engine block. Does that count? Is that okay?
No, I'd be amused.
I want to know, can you build me something out of some straws?
Yes.
What can you build me out of straws? I like to have something really big with a lot of straws.
Let's get off the air and determine your budget.
Oh, no. Let's do this right now. I want something really big with a lot of straws, and I want it to be a firearm.
Oh, crap. Okay. Well, we can start with a Glock body, I guess. Maybe we could recycle some straws into a Glock body.
Oh, that would be awesome. I would love to build a straw gun.
For the record, people, please don't do this.
Yes, you do. Please do it at home. You do this at home with your kids.
Don't leave me out of it. This was not my idea. Mike did it.
You do it at home with your kids. You sit down, you build straw guns.
And you can get the plans from Cody Wilson's website.
And we can download those plans on August the 1st. Oh, come on.
Am I the only one who's not freaking out about the straw thing?
Oh, no. I think straws are the way to go. Yeah, definitely.
I want to say that the majority of the show today has been a satire. At least regarding the straw conversation.
Because the people that are against straws are psycho. They need to be, need to be medicated. Because when you get to the point where you're threatening someone because they say they're not going to get rid of their straw, you have some serious issues. Anyone disagree with that?
Yeah. All of us, we only have a certain amount of Fs to give throughout each day. And when you spend a quarter to half of the Fs that you have to give on trying to get rid of straws.
I feel bad that we're even giving it airtime now. Like, let's talk about literally anything else. It's hot.
And then what about the city of Austin? People are saying, hey, let's change the name. Let's get rid of the Austin. Change that name because it's racist.
What would we even change it to?
Yes, exactly. They want to change the name of Austin. You know, I'm so sick of this, this thing of These are the things that made this country what we are today. This is what brought us to this point. When you get to the point where you start erasing things, we're going to get rid of Robert E. Lee. We're going to get rid of this. We're going to get rid of that. Then you're going to change the foundation of this country and how we got to where we were. This is why we're so great now, you know, because of our past and where we come from and the fact that we evolved.
Stephen F. Austin is known as the father of Texas. If we change our capital from Austin, I mean, that's changing our history.
They wanted to make it
Stephen
Leslie.
F. Austin, Leslie?
Yeah, you remember the Leslie? You don't remember Leslie?
The cross-dressing.
Why don't we call it Cargillica?
You can call it Cargill. I'm good with that.
Cargillica.
Yeah, we go with Cargill. I'm good with Cargill.
I like the idea of changing the scope of America and who we appreciate in history. It's not erasing history. It's just changing. It's addressing the people who did work in different ways and not just celebrating white men in history, but celebrating a lot of other people.
We acknowledge those bad things in history, because if you forget those things, you're bound to repeat them.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's go ahead and acknowledge them. They're there. You're not going to get rid of it. All of your military bases are named after Confederate generals. Every military base is named after a Confederate general. There's nothing we can do with that. You know, it's always going to be there. So remember that history. Remember that so we don't go back and repeat it. That's just me.
Do you know the economic impact that would have on Austin? And we're already in debt. Every single business having to change their address. They want to change streets. Do you know what confusion that would cause? Austin has an international airport that would literally affect the world, because people fly in from all over the world to the Austin International Airport. This is insane. It is our history. He's the father of Texas. I mean, we can't change every single street name. We should just stick to letters and numbers now.
We think
we'll just
Domino.
Be A.
Same thing. I like the idea of respecting people in history more than just white men in history. But no, that's excessive. Don't change the name of Austin. Find other battles to fight. Straws, find another battle to fight. It's good service, you know, good idea, but don't die on that hill.
Good idea, bad execution.
Yeah, bad execution.
This is why Domino and I can still be friends despite such wildly different politics and ideologies, because she can absolutely target functional and pragmatic versus, wait, what? I couldn't agree more.
A liberal with a brain? I feel like I'm in the studio with a unicorn right now.
Well, it just proves that, you know, we do have some, you know, there's civility on this show. You know, we can agree to disagree, or, you know, with a lot of different things. And, you know, this is true civility here. And this is something that people around this city needs to learn. Mm-hmm. Because there's a serious problem with people just upset with people. You're not going to date a Republican. You're never going to date a Democrat under my dead body. That's just ridiculous. We need to agree to disagree on certain issues and move on and be civil with each other. You know?
Mike, we all just need to learn to come and talk it.
Yeah.
In more ways than one. Some people just need to come. This is Michael Yikes. Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
Peace. This is Maj Toure. You're listening to Come and Talk It Radio with Michael Cargill.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now, here's Michael Cargill.
I know a place. I'm in my happy place right now. It's my happy place because I can carry whatever I want to carry. I can carry as many guns as I want to carry. And that's my happy place.
How many are you carrying?
One little one.
You can really carry as many guns as you...
Producer's looking at me saying, all right, you've been warned.
Trench coat. I'm going to start putting straws in your holster.
Oh, yeah, that'll work good. Hey, all right. So Domino, let me ask you this, that, you know, with the pink pistols and things of that nature, the Pulse shooting, because you got your AR-15 after the Pulse shooting.
Yes.
That, you know, was that a deciding factor on whether or not to get a gun or not?
No, not at all.
Because a lot of people after the Pulse shooting that were in the LGBTQ community decided to, you know, take up firearms.
Yeah, that was not my response. I want to party in a dance club, and if there was a woman with me who had a gun on her, I wouldn't feel safer, and I wouldn't want to dance with her.
So you mean tell me you couldn't dance or date another female that carried a gun?
That is not something that attracts me to a woman. No.
But she, you know, she's there to protect you, to keep you safe.
I protect myself. We're there to help each other, but she's not there to protect me. No man is there to protect me. And
so is there a problem with her being wanting to protect herself?
No, she can live her own life. Okay. And I wouldn't.
So what if she kept it a secret? You know, it was a secret from you, mm-hmm. and you didn't know until, you know, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 2 months, 3 months into the relationship that she carried a gun.
We'd talk about it because we're lesbians, and that's what we do. We talk about everything.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah.
Some people keep that a really, I know a lot of people that come into my store keep mm-hmm. guns. It's a secret between, you know, away from their spouse.
I don't think a gun should ever be a secret. It's not safer as a secret, certainly.
I know people that pay cash to buy guns because they don't want their spouse to find out.
Ooh.
Why? You'd be surprised.
That's a bigger conversation. Yeah.
That's a whole nother conversation. the guns, I'm telling you, conversations.
I can lie about how much I paid.
Go ahead, James.
I pay cash to buy guns so I can lie about how much it actually cost me.
Exactly. A lot of men do that. A lot of people do that. They will lie about either how much it was or the fact they even have one. I've had people come into the store because their spouse made them sell their gun, so they sold it to us, and then would come back a week or 2 weeks later and then with cash buy it back when their spouse was out of town and snuck it back into the house.
Yeah, I saw a great meme. It said, when I die, I hope my wife doesn't sell my guns for what I told her I paid.
Exactly.
And I'm telling you now, she will. Because they always come into the store and say, well, he said it cost this. Can I get that for? I say, you sure can. I'll give you cash.
He said it was $10.
And I'll take it.
That sounds like a haunting trend of not healthy communication in relationships by your customers, and that's really unfortunate.
It's just a fact, you know, just facts.
Oh, trust me, the men in Austin don't communicate.
Oh, come on!
At least not the straight
ones. Beat up men. Yeah, don't beat up the men.
Sorry, the last date I went on was with a liberal Democrat from Canada.
Zach, chime in, please. Your man, chime in.
Oh, would you want him to communicate?
Telling us about her liberal man over there.
It can happen.
That's right.
It's not happening this time.
He was afraid of your guns, right?
He felt quote unquote uncomfortable, and I said, "There is the door in all 495 square foot of my apartment."
You're a female, strong. You know, a strong female.
A strong female needs a beta male.
Okay? A strong female who's
or no male at all,
who doesn't have a problem with defending herself. You know, carries a firearm, comes across a man. You know. That she's dating and he has a problem with it.
Was there a question in there?
Yeah,
that sounded like a statement.
I'm just asking. You know, how does that feel?
Oh, I do not care. This is my life. These are my firearms. These are my values. These are my beliefs. You can hop on the bus because it's a fun ride. I am fantastic. or I shall stop and you may exit the vehicle.
Donald, do you hear that? There's your calling card right there, Donald.
No, I mean, it's fine. He, I think what bothered me the most is the fact that he was always apologizing and he said A all the time. I thought those were stereotypes. They are not, unfortunately.
And I'm you know, and I'm telling you, people.
Guy is not representative of all guys, even Canadians.
I hope he's not listening right now. Sorry, Mike.
Oh, no. All right. And so Donald says he's out of the closet when it comes to carrying guns. And John says, I don't tell my wife what I spend on guns, and she doesn't tell me what she spends on knitting.
There you go.
Or shoes.
Or shoes. Right. So, hey, that's a two-way street there.
Yeah, I have a similar litmus test, but it's whether women pet my cats or not.
Oh, God.
Yeah. If they don't like my cats, they gotta go.
Let me tell you, if you meet a man with a cat, vacate. Leave immediately. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
Why is that, Felicia? Do tell.
Because
expand on that a little bit,
crazy.
Please. Please expand on that, Felicia. Why would a man with a cat is a problem?
A man with a dog? Yes. Man with a cat? Questionable.
Why?
personal experience. We'll talk about it off air because we don't want to get in trouble.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Haven't you heard about those crazy cat men?
No, haven't heard it. I need to know about this. Well, Zach, yeah. Do you agree with this statement?
Zach has a cat, and he's insane.
I'm sorry, James. Go ahead.
Do you, in fact, own a cat as a pet?
God, no. I'm allergic to cats. Deathly allergic.
Your dogs would
eat. I am allergic to cats. Yeah, I have three dogs, three girls, pit bulls, females, hardcore.
That's why he doesn't even need guns. He has dogs.
That's right. Get them, girls.
They'll lick you to death.
They're my girls. They protect me. They're like, Daddy, what do you want us to do, Daddy? Kill babies, kills. Yes, Daddy. Yes, Daddy. They're excited about it, too. Let me tell you. My girls. Those are my girls. They're loving to death. So, cat, Zach, is there a problem with a man owning a cat?
I don't think so. My neighbors have a few cats.
Meow.
They actually make their way to my doorstep.
Anyone ever built a holster for their animal? You ever been a holster, you know, for like your dog or your cat to carry your gun?
My dog just rides on my shoulders. I have a miniature Dachshund, and he puts his head on one and his butt on the other, and it is how we live our life.
Oh, my God.
He's like a little scarf. In the car, that's just where he is.
And so Sean says a man with a cat just isn't right. He agrees.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just
I'm telling you, I only
toxic masculinity.
Speak.
Donald says he's allergic to liberals.
I can hear you sneezing from here, Donald.
How was that going into the Capitol last week, Donald? Did you just have did you break out or something? And Jennifer says, yes, stay away from men with cats.
See, it's a thing, you guys. Like, this is a serious problem. Like, if I'm on Tinder and he has a picture of the cat, I'm like, definitely a left swipe. Definitely a no. Even if it's like, not my cat. It's like when they have a bunch of pictures with kids and they're like, those are my nieces. I was like, I don't believe you.
Do they allow gun pics on Tinder?
For now, yeah.
So they allow guns. So you can take a picture with a gun?
Mm-hmm. Not on Bumble.
Not on Bumble, but on Tinder? Oh, yeah. Bumble's in Austin, right?
Well, Bumble's all over.
No, they're based in Austin. Their office is in Austin. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're a bunch of little haters.
Yeah, I got a notification from them. And they were like, hey, for every 1,000 swipes today, we're donating money to Planned Parenthood. And I was like,
God.
Well?
Go Bumble. Woo-hoo!
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, donate to Planned Parenthood. Do it.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, I would much rather, like, a private entity be funding it rather than the government, because I do think that they do some good things, but I was like, I don't know how to act right now.
So Jennifer says her boyfriend likes cats, and she has an issue with it. You're going to have to call us about that.
Oh, but Jay is nice, Jennifer.
Yeah, we need to know about this, Jennifer. What makes you feel uncomfortable about that? Something's going on there.
Cats are weird in
general. She thinks he needs to hate the smaller furry animals, but love the bigger ones that bark.
What'd you say, James?
Well, I was asking, I grew up a country kid, and I'm allergic as the dickens to cats, but what about outdoor cats like barn cats and farm cats? They serve a purpose.
Yeah.
Do you say, hey, kitty, kitty, and then pet it?
Sometimes.
Me? No, I'm allergic. Whenever
I
have to take like 10 pounds of Zytol or whatever.
It's like the men who like snuggle with their cats and take selfies. It's strange. Sorry. And I know that I'm making so many people angry right now, and I don't care.
Exactly.
I think you're in the majority. You're
I'm
totally
speaking
in the
my truth right now.
I know lots of straight women who hate men with cats. It's a thing.
Zach, straight male.
Zach has been so quiet today.
Yeah. What do you think about men owning cats?
I actually grew up with a cat, and when I was about 4 years old, I got to pick out this kitten, Silver Tabby, and I love this cat. He slept with me every night.
But you were a kid. That's a little different. It's like a grown man who lives alone with a cat. Why didn't you just get a dog, sir?
This was the coolest animal ever. Angel would go out, do his thing during the day, and bring back squirrels without their heads, and possums, lizards. And he would bring it just as this gift to me. I felt so honored.
Wow.
My cat would go out and hunt and bring me these dead animal carcasses after he ate their
heads off.
They're
incredible independent creatures.
So you guys are out and about and lost in the wild. You know, you get they drop you in the middle of nowhere. As long as you have that cat, you'll be good to go. Because you guys will, he goes out, he'll get the food for you and come back.
Yeah, if I'm the beast master, sure.
James.
See, we don't need guns. We just need cats.
Oh, my goodness. God. No, not cat.
I do not want to be part of the conversation anymore. Assault cat. Would that be a lion? Or
only good cat is a cat that carries a gun. So James, what do you want to say in parting? You got like 30 seconds.
For those who made the time to join us for the show today, I wanted to thank them. I appreciate them listening to us. And I have a couple of things I would like to out with. One, I would like to thank unique-ars.com on the build. I don't know that any of you have ever seen photos of what we're talking about, but it is a unique piece. And they were instrumental in not only making it perfect, but very personal to Domino as a gift. And I'll, of course, let her expand on that if she wishes or not. But I also wanted to thank Domino for coming on to the show today and proving that we can, you know, be so wildly different in ideologies, but as people, we can still handle it civilly and still be friends when it's all done with.
Thank you, friend.
And Domino?
I would like to say that I do appreciate my dear friend James for always being a good communicator and continuing to prove that people with very different ideologies, like he said, can get along and thrive in society. And I think we have talked about during a podcast too. And I think that our relationship is an awesome friendship that is something more people should be able to do in America.
All right. Next week, we're going to look at having RW Arms inside the studio to talk to us about what they're doing, what they're working on. As always, more guns equals less crime. Go out there and buy yourself a gun. You've been listening to Come and Talk It with Michael Cargill.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.